Hello and welcome back to episode 49 of Rat City Radio. I'm your host, Perry the Pig, and with me as always is my always happy, never ever a Debbie Downer co-host, Dredd. Dredd, welcome back. How are you?
Hello, this is Dredd, and I'm doing great. Thank you, Perry. This is going to be episode 49 of the Rat City Radio. Totally 49 episodes of that and nothing else whatsoever.
Never had a different username, did we?
So in today's broadcast, we have news that Perry has dropped a red ring and did not drop it on the floor. So everyone give him a round of applause.
Yeah.
Yes, learned how to keep items in his inventory.
The first thing I did was I put it in my stash because it reminded me of like Path of Exile stuff. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Where like it only syncs with the server once you put it in the stash.
Oh yeah.
You gotta put it in there, dude, just in case.
I mean, yesterday, like Ellie was down for how long? It was funny. I was like, you know, before like the Path of Exile League stuff, I was like, I want to like play my last character. And I hopped on and I saw everything was down. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go spend time with the wife instead. That's what I did.
I sat on stream and played chess for like 2 hours.
I know. And you also did that tier list video. I saw
it. I did make a tier list video talking about
where'd you put the spear? I'm curious.
So I renamed the tiers. Instead of like S, like A, B, C, D, F, like they were roughly, you know, around those power levels, but I renamed them as like game changing, like good and generic, build around, kind of niche, garbage. Like
it hit garbage, didn't it?
It was basically D tier.
Yeah.
Basically D tier.
If you want to explain your contest, I can explain my part in it real quick.
Sure. So the contest that's still going on, I thought about it a lot. There was so many good unique items, and I wanted to choose like the right unique item for the build contest, and I kind of worried.
Oh, you did not.
I think I chose the wrong unique item. I think I should have done like Event Horizon, probably.
Yeah. And although like, even I'm hearing World about Event Horizon being very bad, though.
Oh, is it really bad?
The movement speed penalty is way worse than we ever could have thought.
Really? Oh my gosh. Yes. So like, I would have said like maybe World Splitter would have been a good one, but I don't see anyone doing anything with World Splitter other than a Racing Strike.
People would have like, I've seen people do it with Flame Reef and it hits the entire screen and it's wonderful.
That is sick. Okay, I like that.
Yeah. If you get that, that's something you should try.
So the build contest, we've done like 10 or 20 build contests in the past, but it's like picking a new unique item or a new affix in the game or a new class or a new skill. We did Tempest Strike when Tempest Strike got reworked. We did Cooldown Recovery Speed when it first got added to the game. We did Mad Alchemist Ladle. We did like this one right here. So we chose the Bane of Winter Spear. And Bane of Winter Spear, it's real hard to build around. It's easy to slap it into a build, but that's boring. Like you want it to be a center point of the build. You want it to be good and not a bad version of something else. And that's hard to do.
I agree. I had first-hand experience with the thing. Before Perry even announced the build contest, I had already been eyeing Bane of Winter because I was like, it has 600% added damage effectiveness. It can't be that bad, right? Spoilers, it was. It was critting for like 220K, the spear, like the little projectiles, which wasn't that bad, but like for it being capped on cooldown like that, I'm like, yeah, that's bad.
It's 20K on top of, you know, casting Frostclaw, on top of, you know, the mana strike, spark charges or the mana arc and KVQ going for
that. If it dealt like 100K and just cleared trash, I would be so happy with it. But I think the problem is the mods on it, the more damage per time rot chance and crit multi per chill, those numbers should just be reversed. It should literally be 10% more damage per time rot chance. Like
I think a lot of people during this contest are realizing that like local chance to apply time rot on hit is not global percent chance to apply time rot on hit. Because people are like, oh, I'm gonna play Warpath and get time rot on hit. And say like, that clearly does not work.
Yeah,
it has to be global modifiers. And like there's so few of those for time rot.
And I played it on stream. The animation of Mana Strike with the spirits, like pokey pokey shoot spells, made me feel like a wizard. It was funny.
Oh, good.
I liked it. I liked the animation. My problem was, it was the first time in Last Epoch history where I've just been sitting there and I'm just getting constantly chided for my damage and constantly chided for my survivability. I'm like, guys, like,
was Twitch chat just like dumping on you?
Oh, the whole time.
Really?
It was so bad, I just quit right there. I was done with it. I was just like, all right, you know what? 500C or 600C, that's it.
I thought your damage did good.
The problem is my single target was good. My clear was not. The problem is, even with a 45% chance to cast Frostclaw on melee hit, we are using a spear. And this spear that we're using does not have that high of an attack rate. And you can have all the damage in the world. It doesn't matter what you do. But if you're not proccing enough frost claws consistently, you're shit out of luck. Mm-hmm. And my problem is, to do that single target, I need to be sitting there, standing still, using Mana Strike. Even with it being at ranged, the game has progressed in terms of power creep to the point we're just standing there still. Not a viable option at all, even if it's at range. You want to be moving. And the problem is that spear wasn't good enough. Now, if the Voidwinter bolts actually pulled their weight, maybe it would be fine. But since they weren't pulling their weight, since I was essentially working on the Frostclaw chance, it was just it was just almost unplayable. The only reason I kept playing it was for the contest, because I didn't want the contest to have a bunch of people at like 100 corruption or anything. I wanted to actually push corruption and actually kill stuff. And the single target was fine, but that's because it was a Frostclaw Ice Barrage build, not because it was a Bane of Winter build, which of course kind of ruined it for me. Mm-hmm. So I just capped it. Like, I got to like 800C and I was like, this is awful. I would never recommend this to anybody, right? Okay, let's just like dump it down to 600. Let's let's eat the humble pie. All right, and then so, let's make the video and move on.
We have plenty of discussion about the build contest itself coming up later on Monday of this upcoming week, because that'll be when we do the final voting. We find out who wins for it. In the meantime, I have a handful of topics that I'd like to talk about. I have my introduction to those topics as well. But for right now, my build got nerfed, bug fixed, the serpent venom thing.
You were so,
and like, it's good that it got bug fixed, but like, you know,
and also I have a bone to pick with you, by the way.
Oh
yeah, I do. What are you, bad damage?
What,
some people would kill for some skills would kill for that damage, that
for 6 mil dot ticks.
No, King was getting to like 13 million.
Yeah But like,
nah. Some builds would kill for half of that. My Frostclaw build,
yes,
like the Bane of Winter build,
it's a lot of DPS. It really is a lot of DPS. So for that build, and I'm gonna revisit it at some point here, because I've already had someone slip into my DMs, give me some ideas. Is it's kind of like a DCCA tier build, where like the clear speed kind of sucks. The defense kind of sucks. You're a melee character. There's nothing really special going on, but you dumpster bosses. But when you dumpster bosses, you need to be melee. You need to ramp on the bosses. You need like some time to ramp. You can't stand in a damage over time pool that's on the ground. So like there's some issues with it, even though against the dummy, it does look like a good damage number. So
yeah,
if the there ramp were a,
obviously is there. Yeah, I
if,
get that.
If part. There were like a small change somewhere, like I'm gonna make some recommendations to EHG, so maybe we can get some different quality of life for that style build. But there's already other people who are brewing ideas for it. So after that got bug fixed and nerfed in the ground, bug fixed, I needed some emotional healing for myself. And I know that when I need emotional healing, it's basically one of two things. It's either I go play Spark Charges, because they always put a smile on my face, or I go play a Void Knight, which always puts a smile on my face. The moment that they release like Spark Charge Void Knights, I will never play anything else, because those are like the two things that I love most. So I'm playing a Void Knights, playing Rive. I'm doing some mana gained, or some damage taken from mana before health on my helmet with Rive. It's like an interesting new layer of defense. I'm enjoying it. I'm having fun. But the reason that I bring this up is that I want to know what you are doing in Last Epoch before you pivot, because I think you're about to play Path of Exile next week.
So I originally wasn't going to, but this league, okay, let me give you some backstory. I know you know, but Twitch chat might not know. I have been playing Path of Exile for about like since I was 16, I think. I've been playing since 3.0 and a little bit before that. And even more before that when I was a kid, but I didn't know what the hell I was doing. And this is the first league in a while where I just looked at it and like, I can't miss it. And you know why? Melee totems are going away. Whoopee. Like, oh my goodness, melee totems going away is so much of a big change for me that like, I might have to go take a break from Ellie for a little bit, sadly. But before all of that, I played the Avalanche build. That was fun. I played the Spellblade build, which it inspired me in the future to play Frostclaw, Mana Strike, Ice Barrage again in a way that actually felt good to play because the damage was absurd even with the stupid spear. So like that obviously means there's something there, right? And then after that, I had started leveling up and working towards a warlock. Now, I have been very slow with builds this cycle, and I blame it all on the contest. I not in a negative way, but it sincerely it was because literally it took me 21 spears, 2 LP spears, to hit one with T5 attack speed and T7 melee cold, which was obviously the synergy point with my build. Before with that, it would have been awful to play, right? And I deleted the entire market. It was well over 200k favor, just the spears alone. It didn't cost me anything gold-wise, like at all, because it was like no one's playing this stuff, right? But it was just favor. And that pushed me back so far in terms of progression because I literally spent like 3 days farming spears and then slamming them that I had to spend like 2 days full of just farming favor and stuff like that, right? I just spent all that time just farming favor, doing stuff like that. And then after that, I spent another day slamming items. So I slammed like 4 Curse of Perseverances and I got what I wanted. I slammed, I think, 6 Titan Hearts, and I got what I wanted. And I slammed the gloves, the ones that apply mark for death on hit. Mm-hmm. I can't remember exactly the name, the mark for death gloves. And I got all of that set up. I got the character leveled. By the way, completely ignore what I said last time about the getting to empowered monos was annoying on my last character. That build was just bad. It's actually way better than I thought. If you actually play a good character, it's like way easier to like twink level. That was just a bad experience overall. The twink leveling experience is way better than I thought it was. Like I played the warlock and I twink leveled it and stuff. Like it was like so much better. Like obviously it's because of, you know, Chthonic Fissure, but still. Now, I'll have to keep playing and see if that was because of Chthonic Fissure or not, but that was much smoother than the Spellblade.
Can we pause for a moment where we're talking about like leveling on a second character?
Yeah, of course.
So
I just started
my second character, my first second character of the league, and I did not use... Cut out. I did not
oh,
use
no,
a
you're glyph- cutting out.
I didn't use a glyph.
You're cutting head. Out. You're
oh, cutting I am cutting out. Out.
Oh,
oh,
no. Oh, no.
I think
okay,
we're back.
You're fine now.
I had a Comcast moment for just a moment there.
That's okay. We all do.
Comcast. I had my first experience leveling a second character with like Glyph of Envy and like the needles and everything that exists now. Obviously needles don't do much for like twink leveling until you get to a power monolith, but my point is I didn't use a Glyph of Envy at all because I wanted to like actually get experience, and it was way faster. The only difference that I personally experienced was only having to do one level 90 monolith before getting to empower. Mm-hmm. And that change alone, no needles, no Glyph of Envy, no speedy racing, speed leveling stuff. Just that one change of only having to do one level 90 monolith was amazing. And you know what it reminded me of? Mm. We've had basically that recommendation in the past. We've said, like the level 90 monoliths slow down too much. It takes too long to do 3 level 90s instead of like, you know, you do 70 and then 75, 80, 85, 90, and then you do 90, and then you do 90, and then you do 90, and you're just like stuck at the same progression level for a while. And we had this idea of like, what if What if, like, right after Reign of Dragons, like, you finish Reign of Dragons, and then there's, like, a door, and you, there's, like, a boss, and if you can beat that boss, then the game allows you to do, like, level 100 empowered monoliths immediately. And this is extremely close to what we had proposed for resolving that issue in the past. It's just, like, yeah. they lined it up with, like, after the first level 90 instead of after Reign of Dragons, which is great. I think it was, like, totally awesome. How
and the Harbingers are a perfect, like, difficulty.
They are. Boss. Like, they are hard. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, like, if you have the gear to overpower this, you get to go to Empowered Monos. Like, go ahead.
Yep.
That was great. I used two Glyphs of Envy. What I did was I leveled a little bit in the first Fall of the Outcasts. Then I played a bunch in, I used a Glyph Envy to skip the rest and just do it instantly. And then I did Black Sun and I, you know, played in it a little bit to get a little bit of XP. Then I skipped it. Then I did the same thing all the way up. And that was really good. It felt really good. Like, I was in Empowered Monos, like, by the end of the day easily. Like, it was like, I was already like level 80 by the time I was done with my character. And the Warlock build I was playing is really good. It's really fun. So the original idea that I had was I was going to use the Mark for Death gloves with the Profane Veil, Mark of the Rat, Proliferation on Poison and Damned. And I was going to use that with Curse of Perseverance and, like, shoot out Hungering Souls and use the Proliferation for Clear. Didn't work. Awful. But it was still a really good single target. So what I did was I swapped to the other setup of a Warlock that I failed previously on a solo character found run because I didn't have enough single target. I did a setup where you run Spirit Plague and you apply poisons with Spirit Plague and it has the duration of the Spirit Plague. It does not inherit the more damage modifiers of the Spirit Plague, which I think is bogus, by the way. I think that's dumb. I asked,
is it really not?
Yeah, it does not, but it does inherit the duration of the Spirit Plague, so fine, whatever, right? And then you run that, then you run Spirit Plague. Now Soul Feast. Soul Feast has the node that spreads curses 3 times on hit. So it spreads like Spirit Plague specifically. So that's good. And that allows you to take the node in Spirit Plague that casts it in AoE. So you cast like on like 5 enemies.
Interesting. Instead of, like, never taken that node in my life. Okay.
It works. So it makes it so it cannot spread on death, on minion death, but Soul Feast spreads it anyways. Mm-hmm. And the chance to spread it on hit also spreads it. So it only disables the spread on kill, which is good for us. Now, we do that. We grab the nodes that spreads it on hit. So Soul Feast is hitting stuff. And that spreads Spirit Plague. Now, the way that ailment proliferation works, okay, is when I apply ailments to maybe like 2 creatures and they both have 3 ailments, the way ailment prolif now works, I figured it out finally. We figured it out how it works, like all the background, all of it. So it will kind of equalize the poison stacks or the ailment stacks. So for instance, if you have 2 enemies with 3 poison stacks, they go to 6. Because you have 3 poison stacks that are new on this creature and 3 that are new on this character, right? Cool. Like, we get that. Now, if we bump it up to maybe 4 enemies, we apply 3 poison stacks to 4 enemies, it will now go to 12 because there's 3 new poison stacks on each enemy. So it cannot create new stacks. It cannot ping pong. But what it can do is multiply your poison. So for instance, if I hit 10 enemies at once, with 3 poisons, that's 30 poisons that get prolifed across everyone if you have enough prolif, which so I do.
You're like Spirit Plague, and then Soul Feast prolifts them. That's your clear speed, and your single
and
target
plus
is like
the Mark for Death, Mark for Rat, Mark of the Rat, right?
Sure. Because your single target is enough, just like a shotgun thing.
Yeah, and you need enough prolif to like bounce everything because you're gonna be hitting like 30 targets at once.
That's so interesting.
You want all the and Soul Feast also has poison prolif.
I like
that.
It
is all my clear. Literally, in Soul rumors the Spirit Plague poison has no damage scaling outside of the duration on it.
Which does feel like a bug, by the way.
I talked to Mike. He said it shouldn't.
That doesn't sound accurate.
I completely agree. I completely agree. So the way he justified it was Spirit Plague is not applying the poisons. You're applying the poisons yourself when you cast Spirit Plague on the target. Because Spirit Plague as a skill and spirit plague as an ailment are two different things. So spirit plague, when it says spirit plague deals more damage, it says the curse, not the kill, which is bogus. I think it's dumb.
It should say that it deals more direct damage, or it should say that it deals more
curse damage. He did say they have to fix it. Yeah. They're going to change it. But still, I think like there's no reason that the poison shouldn't scale.
Agreed.
Yeah, that's stupid, obviously. But still, that's how I clear, because my hungering souls can't clear. And I'm literally clearing just with Soul Feast and Spirit Plague. So I just cast a Spirit Plague, then a Soul Feast. It does the trigger node where it like triggers four times, mm-hmm. and it spreads everything. Everything gets like 60 poison stacks. Everything dies or whatever, or damned too, which I'm moving into. And that was it. That was it for the character. That was it. That's all I got to do. And then the Path of Exile League started. I have two Path of Exile clients that I work for editing. So I had to stop there. And of course, now I'm going to be playing Path of Exile. So that's
didn't quite start yet. I don't. Wait a minute.
Yeah. What do you mean? The reveal was yesterday.
Yeah, but the Path of Exile League hasn't started yet.
Well, yeah, but I have to like.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
I have to work, prepare, and work.
Yeah. I like that I ask you what build you're playing, and you go like so much detail telling me. Like, this is a sign of a build that you're excited about. That's what I like.
Oh, I want to return to it and finish it for
sure. Yeah, I like it. Speaking of, I was going to do this in reverse order, but now you make me want to transition in this order instead. So, one of the topics that I wanted to bring up today, the main topic that I wanted to bring up today is. It's Reddit.
Is it that one Reddit post? Is it the one to talk about Melee Unfriendly? Is it that one?
Oh, that's one of the tabs I have pulled up.
All
yes.
right. All right.
It's
okay. Which tabs is this I pulled one? Up. All right. Apparently, there's multiple.
Well, I just made a post as well. So the first thing I'm going to talk about is me, but then I'm going to get to some other posts as well. And I want to talk about Reddit. I guess the reason I want to talk about this is that I feel like it's important to shine a light on this. I feel as though when people complain about nonsense, it gets in the way of complaining about things that are worth complaining about. Like, all the chaff gets in the way of the critical issues. And Reddit, over the past 72 hours or so, or maybe even longer than that, has made lots of good complaint posts and talking about things that are frustrating and that get in the way and why is this way about Last Epoch. Of course, over the past day, it's just been about, you know, all the servers being bad because there's that big outage. But slightly more back in time from that, there have been a menagerie of posts. They're just like all over the place. Like, why is Melee like this? Why is the Temporal Sanctum like this? Why is Dot like this? And I want to highlight these because I find myself mm-hmm. agreeing with Reddit, which is weird.
Oh.
And Twitch chat finds themselves agreeing with Reddit too, which is also weird.
We gotta find ourselves a new host, guys.
Oh no. Okay, so post number one is from user me. It's from me.
Of course.
And this is something that we've talked about before, and I wanna highlight it because it has to do with Path of Exile. And Path of Exile is right around the corner.
All
right. There was a post from Path of Exile in the patch notes. They said, "The way that we deal with rarity and quantity has been changed." They say, in general, the philosophy mm-hmm. here in Path of Exile is that if you're killing monsters, you get loot. And if they're more difficult, you should get more loot. And it's so obvious that you wonder, why am I even bringing this up right now? Well, there's also two posts from Mike. And I'll link this in Twitch chat as well. There's two posts from Mike over time that have said that that's not the case. They've said that in Arena Echoes, and you know Arena Echoes because I know Arena Echoes, and Arena Echoes, on average, in Last Epoch, they take longer than your normal echoes in the rest of Last Epoch. They're boring for a lot of people because you just stand in place instead of exploring. You don't get your Nemesis and you don't get your Exiled Mages. They have drastically reduced spawn rates in Arena. Technically, they can spawn. And more importantly, for this purpose of conversation, people have noticed that far fewer items drop in wave-style echoes. And then Mike says, yes, in order to reduce the distraction while you're fighting to survive in the arena echo. Which is just another in a slew of disconnects between like how EHG thinks about this and how we think about this.
Why we have problems with this is... If you have watched me stream you've probably noticed sometimes I will accidentally click on Arena Echo and I'll be like, ew, instantly poured out. Okay. That gives you an idea of how bad the Arena Echoes are. And it's sad because they do have a use, but for all the wrong reasons. Recently, I actually have been using Arena Echoes to farm favor while AFK.
Oh my God.
And it's awful. I hate it. I hate that you can do it, but it's there because I'm like, I'm working on other stuff. I'm watching a TV show. I'm watching like whatever, right? And I'm just sitting here, just like clicking right click every so often, right? I'm just like, all right. And I'm farming favor because remember, I had to fucking slam 21 spears. So I'm just sitting here bored. And that is not what it should be for at all. Because you'll TP out, go back in, TP out, go back in, TP out, go back in. Never actually finish the Arena Echo. And that should 100% not be the case. That's another slew of problems. But yeah, Arena Echoes are very bad in general for your time and work, like just in general, just so bad for your time.
And for your money as well. So the second post is from someone else said, is it intended that mobs in Arena drop like 1% of the fraction of any other echo type and they also take more time to clear? And then Mike said yes. So this is how it's designed. It's intentional that Arena Echoes are just awful.
Well, in theory, they're okay for favor, especially like if you do the aforementioned thing that I was talking about. But like the problem is, if you do it the way that I was doing it, you're not progressing bosses. You're not progressing your corruption or anything like that. But yeah, it's just like, I don't know. I don't like the current usage of Arena Echoes. I think that like they don't really like Arena Echoes are a band-aid to the current problem that Ellie has where like the diversity of the end games. Like for instance, when I go into like an Echo, there's like Aspire or a different objective.
As they add in more of those smaller objectives like Nemesis mm-hmm. and like the Exiled Mage and like the cash thing that's
which can't spawn in the arena because right. people kept abusing it because they wouldn't fix it and wouldn't fix how porting in and out of Echoes right. worked. So instead of that, they just disabled it in arenas.
It's drastically reduced. I think it's technically possible.
No, it's impossible.
Impossible?
Yep, they just they removed it because people would just sit there, go in, go out, go in, go out, the whole time. Remember that was the reason why
I did that. Here. Don't worry.
I know you did it. Yeah, that's why they removed it completely.
So because me specifically. So the next Reddit post is the same thing. It is Arena should not be a part of the core game, and I'm just gonna browse through this post real quick. This person said. Arenas are an unrewarding time sink, which is fine if EHG wants to keep them in their own entity. But when COF includes them as being an objective, it's not fun content people want to do. So I have issues. So if I only have arenas showing up, I've spent 10 minutes per prof stage just to get one done. With that, the experience is bad. The favor gain is very low, which you've said is not the case. There's not any Nemesis or Exiled Mage, which I think is huge because they just added these in. They're new and exciting. I think Arena needs to be their own separate activity with no ties to any current or incoming content without a serious rework. So if they get a serious rework, maybe this person thinks it's okay, but unless that, yeah, just get them out there. Which is funny, we've talked to Lizard a number of times in the past, Lizard_IRL, he's one of the members of the Max Roll team, and he's had a very good stance, at least in the last time that I talked to him, regarding Arena. He loves that Arena exists, but he wants, like Arena should only be for measuring how tall you are. It should have no rewards in it. It should have like no MTX rewards, no loot rewards. It shouldn't be a rewarding thing to do. It should only be there for being on the leaderboard. And I like that. I think that having
I like that too.
Having the arena in the Monolith of Fate, it kind of gives you a teaser. It's like, oh, here's this thing that you could be doing, and here's a little taste of it. Maybe if it was like 5 waves long or 6 waves long, like make it nice and snappy. But the fact that sometimes it goes to 17 waves is just like, I'm literally being punished and EHG designed it to punish me. And I don't understand why that's the case.
Way they could fix it is they could obviously redo the arenas themselves, like make them more interesting.
Or faster or shorter or dangerous.
Well, like the actual like areas, because they're kind of dated. Like they could look prettier, right? with the new stuff.
Sure.
But I think the way it should work is it should just be a mini version of the Arena of Champions. Mm-hmm. You do the waves, you get a small mini boss at the end, and you know, you can make a bunch of them or whatever, right? And then once you kill it, it spawns a chest, you open it, it drops good gear like a mono chest and like, you know, like in the monos, but maybe a little bit more depending on how many arena echoes there is, right? Stuff like that. And that would fix the whole thing, because it'd be like, all right, at least if I do this, there's going to be a reward at the end that's actually rewarding. People don't mind going through mindless slog if there's a reward at the end or a
perceived reward. That's the entire action RPG.
That's why people, that's why people play RuneScape, right? It's like, you know, like, so I think that's the problem. If that was like that, that'd be cool. I would like that myself.
All right, so the next post that I wanted to highlight here, and this is all the Reddit posts that I'm surprised at how much I agree with him. This one is going to be near and dear to everyone's heart, especially if you're playing hardcore. Please, dear EHG, says this person. This is Fame Celebration 211. Dear EHG, please nerf Dot. I know many people have said it already, but please, EHG, just nerf it. Currently, there is not a counterplay to Dot. Doesn't matter how many defenses the player has. Every time I die, it's from Dot. I feel like I have negative resistances, even though I'm overcapped on every resistance. Please at least nerf the poison nemesis guy. He is crazy.
So this has been a problem for a very long time now. This became a problem when Chapter 9 was released. Anyone sure. remember when Chapter 9 was released?
Before Chapter 9, we didn't build poison reds on any character.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we still don't. We just grumble.
Well, I definitely do. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I do when I can. It's just like it's too expensive sometimes. It's like it's better just to out-sustain it. But the reason why Dot feels so oppressive right now is because of recent time. EHG has been using it as a crutch.
As a way to increase difficulty.
If they want something to be difficult, they will introduce a dot that is unmitigatable in the normal way. So, of course, you have to use damage over time mitigation, stuff like that. And, of course, what Alweezy just said, the damage on the spires are insane as well because they scale with corruption. But the problem with it is it's kind like it should like if it ignores your glancing blow, it ignores your block, it slightly ignores your armor, and you have to build into it for that. If you don't want it to ignore your armor, it ignores like in if you're running poison, it almost ignores your resistances.
Ignores dodge, silver shrouds. Yep.
Yeah, dodge like parry now. I think.
Percent chance to take no damage from hits, which is on three different pieces.
Ignores that. And the problem is these are all defenses that are what we're incentivized to build because it's everywhere. And because of that, it leads to this problem where I don't really have ways of mitigating this. So why is the damage so high? So like, for instance, in back in the day, this is such a weird problem because like, I remember them saying like, oh, we have enemies that auto-target you. Remember the Void Cultists with, like, the auto-targeting beams?
Sure.
And they said specifically, they're like, well, since they auto-target you, they do less damage than if a melee monster walked up to you and hit you in the face. But it's the opposite now. The things that you block with dodge, all that, don't even hit you that hard. You don't even need that much mitigation against those monsters. But the dot is so ungodly overtuned with the corruption scaling that it has become just a meme at this point, right? Like, why people don't push corruption now, that's probably why. Like, why people felt like you needed 40k ward to survive last patch, that is why. Is because ward was the only way of mitigating it in large quantities because that's just how much damage they were doing. And I think them using dot as the only way to gauge difficulty in fights. Like, we saw it with T4 Jurla, right? It was like, oh, void beams, you touch it, you're dead. Obviously, it's not like that anymore. But back in the day, it was. Like, she puts a dot pool under your feet. Oh, there's these enemies with poison that deal insane amounts of damage. There's, you know, diamond matron beams, you know, Wingari spires. So, like, what happens is whenever they want to make anything difficult, they throw a dot on it, which then makes everything that isn't a dot feel not difficult for people. So now you have this weird kind of like reward, like the system that is encouraging you to think that normal mobs are easy, but then as soon as there's dot, it's like overtuned because of just how much of a difference it is on your defenses. And I think it's finally kind of catching up to them, because I've been talking about this for years in general about like the dot damage stuff, right? About how like it keeps like getting like used every single time they want anything to be any amount of difficult. A perfect example of this. Do you remember the Maljoka zones before you enter Maljoka, like the desert?
Yes.
That zone before was really stupid piss easy, okay? Really stupid easy, right? Like just completely ignore it. Same thing with the road to Harton's ship. Those two zones were insanely easy.
Sure.
Okay. And I'm pretty sure what they did was they saw people speed running their game and they're like, wow, we don't like the fact that people are just running through these zones and ignoring all the enemies. Let's just add Hydra poison. And I'm pretty sure that's why Hydra poison exists the way it does. Now, whenever I level a character, I put healing hands on my bar, freaking like Atera's blessing, all these things, just so that I can essentially cheese that zone, those zones.
Because the serpent venom lasts for like, what, 10 seconds?
The serpent venom is so insanely overtuned, and it shows it's the perfect example of how they treat hits versus dots. Is like, go to that zone when you're leveling, get hit by a hit and feel it and look at the number, and then go get hit by a Hydra poison. And then you tell me what you think about it, because it is like, even if you build poison res, it is still disgusting. It lasts for so long.
And you're not like, going to have poison res at like level, what, 25 or so
yeah,
in the game?
Yeah. You're like, you're not going to have resistances that early, unless if you like spend 5 years like in the campaign, which no one wants to do, by the way. So yeah, it's just crazy. So had that problem earlier. Oh, sorry.
I did. Like, I want to put healing hands in my bar at level 25 just so I have a source of healing, right? Mm-hmm. Two thoughts I want to share with you about this, like regarding like dot EHE stuff. We have a joke that's popped up in like the YouTube comments for my videos and also in Twitch chat, which is dot's easy. You just, you know, build a bunch of armor and you use an Oracle amulet and you use your
Decayed Skull now.
The Eternal Gloves and your Decayed Skull. And you build like a bunch of like dot mitigation and all of your armor.
You play a Beastmaster
as long as you sacrifice your glove slot and you sacrifice your amulet slot and you build a bunch of armor, you're good to go. And like they just introduced Nihilus, which is this awesome new amulet that even has a more armor multiplier on it, so you can build your eternal gauntlets and build into your like armor mitigation. But I like the plus two
Nihilus,
levels.
The best like amulet the in the game, levels. Being kicked in the nuts by an Oracle amulet.
I kind of want to use an Oracle amulet instead, because it has less damage taken, and it's not, you know, percentage of your and armor. It just has less dot.
The devil's advocate here would be, in theory, well, there are builds that don't feel like they need an Oracle amulet. Go ahead and find one.
No, it's not.
Go ahead and find one, yeah. Go ahead and find one, yeah.
No, if I could have two amulets somehow, it'd just be like, it'd be like Nihilus and an Oracle.
I'm going
amulet.
To assume that's probably why Red Ring is so, popular, is because of that.
It's got less damage taken on it. Yeah.
It's like, that's why Aspect of the Boar always felt so good. Mm-hmm. That's why like all these different things, they felt so good, is because, and that's why we've been complaining so much about DR in general and where they're placed, because like, I don't need DR against the random skeleton hitting me mm-hmm. for like 20 damage. I need DR against the Hydra poison that ticks mm-hmm. me from 4K to zero in two ticks.
So how would you feel if EHG made more use of the trap damage that exists in the game, stuff that deals a percentage of your current HP, but it never actually kills you? Could like, do you want more of that? Like, it's pretty niche right now, but we could have more of that potentially.
I just want them to like, it's going to sound mean. But like, I think part of the problem is you know how they keep talking about like, oh, we balance the game for this amount of corruption and all that. I'm sure a lot of these effects are completely fine and balanced in lower amounts of corruption. But as soon as you start actually pushing corruption that's when they start to really hurt. Obviously, there's problems with the campaign. There's always problems in the campaign. There's 20 different problems with the campaign. But like when you get into corruption and stuff, that's when the dot really starts to take over. And like whenever you ask anyone who's ever done any high amounts of corruption that did not cheese their way through it with like 40K award, they'll be like, yeah, dot damage sucks, man. Yeah,
the only thing that kills you, the only thing threatening.
And I think the problem is since they're so focused on not balancing past a certain point, it has caused certain scaling vectors to exceed what they should. Like, for instance, a good example here is a long time ago. Do you remember the Necrotic Wisp apocalypse?
Maybe. Go on.
Okay.
This might Lizard, be before my time.
Lizard was doing a bunch of arena pushing.
Oh, I know this story. Sure.
Yeah. And he was doing a bunch of arena pushing, and the Necrotic Wisps, they were one-tapping people. And they would, like, you would take, like, 10 damage from a normal mob at this arena wave, right? And the Necrotic Wisp would one-shot you or two-shot you, right? And we made a few forum posts. We talked to the devs about it. And low-key, we were slightly gaslit about it. It's like, oh, it's not a problem. Because when you look at the difficulty at base corruption or whatever the content was at the time, I think, right? And not look at it at like arena 800 or corruption 800 or stuff like that. It doesn't look like a problem at all because like it doesn't scale properly at that point. But as soon as like for some reason, the more damage multipliers just take that and shove it up to 11. And it's because we have the lack of defenses and all that too. And it's just like, dude, like the entire community is complaining about one thing, dot damage. Like, did we ever like go look at the numbers? Like I think one of the most scary monsters right now in Monos isn't Aberroth. Aberroth.
Oh, I know Aberroth's what my answer not even is. I wonder Aberroth. If my answer lines up with your answer.
Zealots.
Which one's that?
The Ignite boys, the Ignite birds.
Oh, I think there's a worse one.
Oh really? What's that?
I don't know the name of it, but it's like a little void circle, and it attaches a tether to you, and it deals void damage over time.
That's the other one.
Extraordinarily dangerous monster.
Yeah,
its name like, is like Bill or something.
Oh, it's like a void leech. Yeah, and it's like literally more dangerous than Aberroth, and it's just
way
like,
more damage. Yeah.
And it's like, why is this happening?
And like, you try to run away from it, but like the tether doesn't have like a max range.
Oh, you
on
have
it.
To literally like teleport. No, it does, but it's like two screens away.
Cool.
It's like you have to like literally jump. Like literally, I've tested it. You have to literally run. Like as soon as you see that little void tether through all the other things, by the way, on your screen. By the way, screen color in general is really bad right now. But literally, you have to like teleport two screens away till it deattaches or kill the stupid thing.
Cool. Love that. I'm going to grab, I have three more Reddit posts, and we're going to talk about the next one here. These next two are pretty similar. So the first one here is, this user is, Big Man Orn, I think is the user. And they said, this is the most melee unfriendly action RPG, and it's not even close. They say the uptime and the opportunities to path back to the monsters through all the bullshit is disgustingly low. 20% of the Shade of Robus vision or version aren't complete bullshit. 50% of the Harbingers do a 6-second combo every 10 seconds. And you got to wiggle your thumbs and run away from them. And you have 4 seconds to attack, and you have to dodge 4 lines of attack plus the timeline boss abilities. Absolutely insane design. Do they test melee at all?
I remember a conversation that's associated with this. See, my melee build has range. I have Javelin on my bar.
Oh my
remember
God.
That?
I don't necessarily agree with what like the examples that this person provided
for why
melee feels bad, but I have a slew of other examples. For example, like Julra in Temporal Sanctum, she has abilities that are coded that she only ever uses against melee characters. There's puddles of damage over time that spawn under your character, and if you're attacking the boss, the puddle spawns right there, and all of a sudden you're standing in a dot and you have to like run away and you can't dot or you can't damage anymore. Is like, I recently played both the bugged OP and the post bug fix version of my Serpent Venom build. And post bug fix, you need to be a build that's melee. You don't have good dot mitigation, so that's toxic by itself. And you need to ramp. So like, if I'm fighting a boss and you like, I need to get to the monster, I need to like not only hit it once or twice, but also like ramp my damage up. And that feels pretty bad when you're relatively squishy. That
reminds me of the complaints I had about the Mana Strike character, by the way.
Yeah. This
is going full circle.
You're standing still, sure.
And I think the reason why, like, so I've played builds that can face tank this stuff. And I've played good builds. And I just sit there and stand still and I can face tank stuff, right? But I think the problem is I have been mentally conditioned to dodge AoEs on the ground to the point where I've been playing other ARPGs. I know. Spoiler. I know. I've been cheating on Last Epoch a little bit here or there. Okay? I know. Let's get all the booze out of here. But whenever I swap away from Ellie, I feel oddly calm. I do a map in Path of Exile. Like, there are dangerous mobs in Path of Exile. Don't get me real. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, there's dangerous things. But I never feel tense. But whenever I ever come back and play Last Epoch for a few, like, for a while, I'm always stressed out and tense. I realize what it was. It's the constant attention you have to pay to your feet. And what is under it? Like, for instance, you know, like the old Osprex Light Mages, always dodging those, right? The, you know, now the stupid plants, right? The void mm-hmm. lasers, the diamond matron lasers, the tigers. I feel like the difference between like living, like difference between playing LE and any other ARPG is like living in like America and like a suburbia, right? Whereas like I'm some common house spiders. And playing in Last Epoch is like playing in Australia with like okay. all of the scary things.
That was a safe choice. Good, go. Okay, Australia, that's fine.
Yeah, like you know, gigantic spiders, like sure. big snakes, croc, like all these scary things, right? And I'm always tense whenever.
So is like, that a bad thing? Is that like people? There are people out there who complain that like action RPGs are, you know, hack and slash, turn your brain off. And they say, man, I wish the combat were more engaging. It's like Last Epoch combat. It is good. But you're just saying maybe it's like too constant uptime of brain power.
I think it's fine. I think the problem is I think that's why the retention on LE is so poor, I think.
Hmm.
Because when I finish like 8 hours of playing PoE, I don't feel that tired. I'm fun, chilling, stuff like that, right? Obviously, I'll have every so often where it is difficult, right? The difficulty will jump when I do things wrong or when I fuck up or when I do a map mod that I don't like, et cetera, stuff like that, right? But with Ellie, as soon as I hop into that first mono, it's like, it's just tense and like stressful the whole time through. It's like, literally, like, I feel so physically exhausted whenever I finish an LE gaming session in comparison to anything else. Like, for instance, one day I spent like 12 hours like doing magic drafts with my friends, with like legacy drafts, which is mentally, very mentally draining because like you're constantly picking draft picks and stuff like that, right? But I don't feel tired at all after that. But then I go and play Last Epoch for a few hours on a build that is slightly less powerful, right? I'm just like spent. I need to go relax.
Before we get too far into this, I want to ask like the people who are watching on like YouTube or Spotify afterward, or even the people who are like watching live in Twitch chat, let me know if you agree with Dredd. Like I'm curious, like is Last Epoch on the higher end of like mental activity when you're playing for an action RPG?
It's just stressful.
Let me know if you agree with Dredd. Like I find myself that I really enjoy the like combat patterns of Last Epoch. I think there are issues with melee, absolutely. But like in general, mm-hmm. like the different patterns that every single monster represents, I think that's a good thing of Last Epoch.
It's a good thing, but I think that it's a good thing in doses. I don't think everything should be like that.
Okay.
Like for instance, when I walk into a mono, I shouldn't be expected to dodge 6 diamond matrons at once. Like obviously, that's insanely stressful. And I think a lot of builds recently, the ones that people like are stuff like Chthonic Fissure and stuff like that, because they do the damage for you while you dodge. When you have something dealing the damage for you while you're dodging, like Storm Totem or something like that, it's way better. But as soon as you're playing anything that requires you to stand still for more than half a second, oh no. And I think that there's a balance, and I think that like they need to like really just go through, right, and like figure out like how to reach that balance of the stressful times and the not stressful times. Like, for instance, if I clicked on a mono and it said this contains 36 diamond matrons beforehand, I'm like, sure, whatever, right? Click it, let's go, right? But when I click on a mono randomly and it goes from spiders to diamond matrons,
yep,
to spiders,
it's like it's like a player expectation kind of thing.
It's not like a diamond matron feels like a mini boss in Path of Exile. It feels like when you do like, you know, like Syndicate, right? When you do a Syndicate encounter, that's how a diamond matron feels like. But you have like 10 of them and they don't reward you anything. Well, like a Syndicate, you know, obviously you're doing your board and all that. And I think that's like part of the problem is it's all this stress, but no reward for it. And I think they need to like reduce the amount of these quote unquote boss mobs, mini boss mobs they have, so that it doesn't always feel that stressful. Mm-hmm. Like one profane flesh is not a problem. Even two. Two is interesting, right? Because you have to dodge them and all that, right? Even as a melee build. Three, it's like, okay, that feels pretty difficult, right? But then when you have five, it's just like, really? But the problem is, then what happens is, because of this, the builds that people end up playing and enjoying are builds like the aforementioned Chthonic Fissure, where you just put it down, everything dies. It doesn't matter if it's five profane fleshes, they die anyways. And that's why I think people have gravitated towards those kind of builds way more in LE than in, you know, PoE. And I think that like the combat is fun sometimes with LE, but when you spam a bunch of diamond matrons down my throat, it doesn't feel complex combat. It just feels like, when is this mono going to be done so I can like take a chill pill real quick and go like go out for a smoke? I don't smoke, but like, dude, sometimes like, oh, like if I need a chill pill, like, dude, it's crazy. Like I just have to like go and like sit in my living room. And I know it's weird. It's like, oh, Dread, like, isn't playing games fun? It is fun. It's just like, I don't know. It's just weird. I've noticed this as well. Whenever I play other games, I'm like always tensed out and stressed out. I'm like, oh, wait, I don't need to be stressed out. There's no diamond mage around the corner. I'm fine. It's like, whatever. Like, I don't know. It's so weird how much this is caused because of like how bad like the spawning AI is, or whatever you want to call it.
The last Reddit post that I wanted to mention here has to do with dungeons. And this is something that I definitely feel. I'm someone who probably likes dungeons more than most people do. But every time that I do a dungeon, I recognize that it's garbage. It's like, it's bad for favor. It's bad for progressing corruption. It's bad for interacting with the nemesis system, for doing exiled mages. Like, it's just bad. And it takes too long. And sometimes you crash. But that's a different issue altogether. So this person says, the two floors you have to navigate through each time you'd like to do something like Jewelra, for example, is extremely tedious. Going to slam a legendary only to brick it and have to redo the whole process over again sucks. I'd prefer those beginning sections to be removed or drastically shortened. As an aside, they're like the biggest areas in the game. They're absolutely...
They don't need two floors. They could go with one floor.
One floor would be okay. Like, I think the novelty's worn off. We could do one floor. People say, like, I don't mind the boss fight itself, but two floors of enemies with no challenge just doesn't make any sense. And I agree. I'm just like, this is a whole
like
slew of Reddit posts that I agree with.
Opposite of the spectrum of what we just talked about, too. Where it's like, this is just too boring. I'm just like...
So, we keep saying, like, back in the day, but when Dungeon was first introduced, it was a good idea to farm floor number one and to farm floor number two. because sometimes they had like, you know, enemies drop exalted helmets. And it's like, oh shit, I need exalted helmets. This is literally the best way in the game to get a slew of just random exalted helmets. And like your buddy would ping you on Discord.
That
and
got say, power oh, shit, so quickly.
Like, oh shit, dude, it's helmet day. It's helmet day. Log in. So it like almost felt like a daily login reward. But like you came in, you did that. And there were this was still offline at the time. I remember there were people who were concerned about like the integrity of the game because you were playing offline and you could, this is no longer an issue because we have online, but you could edit your system clock to be a different day and it would change what the drop was for, let's say you could like, you could farm more helmets than the next guy because you figured out the hack with your system computer or your system clock. And like, that's what it used to be like in terms of trying to get, you know, exalted helmets or something. And these days, you just wonder, like, why the hell would you ever do that? Because we have Nemesis, and we have Exile Mages, we have a corruption system, we have, like, all these things that encourage you to be in the Monolith Web, and then you have, like, why are there two floors of nothing? Why do I have to do this? Like, I just, let me get over it and go back to the Monolith Web, because clearly EHD wants you in the Monolith Web. I agree. I agree with all these.
Yeah, it's, yeah. I think that, like, having them in the campaign was a mistake overall. I think having them as an echo, like a unique echo type in the web, would have been way more fun. Because like, so like for instance, as you pushed up corruption, right? Let's say you do a normal mono and you hit a T, like a temporal sanctum. And you finish that temporal sanctum. And instead of having a level requirement, you just, like, you did, went to the Echo, went and did the Temporal Sanctum, right? You finished it. You killed her. Her difficulty scales with corruption and all that instead of the tier nonsense, right? And then you kill her, and then she opens up, and you get to put in one item. Doesn't matter the item level. Doesn't matter, okay? But then as you go up in tiers and you go up in corruption, after, like, a specific amount of corruption, let's say, like, 500, who cares, right, at this point, right? You get to base empowered. You get two slots in it that you get, like, you get to do it twice,
use it, right? Twice, sure.
And then you get to do it three times later on, and it's about the difficulty as like T4 Jirla, right? I think, and that would alleviate the dumb key problem, that would make it more exciting to go do it, would make it more exciting to go find the echoes in the web, so it'd make that more entertaining. And then it would feel more like a momentous occasion. It feels like hitting like a treasure island or something like that, right? Or like, oh yeah, I get to finally slam my thing. And then, you know, of course, obviously make sure the you know, the rate of which you get the echoes, like, not bad, or like make it so like you get a bunch of attempts every mm-hmm. time, so that it feels like a momentous occasion instead of a chore.
Yeah, I can already think of like some issues with the system that you proposed. But the important thing is, like, that's a dynamic change to the monolith system, yeah. to the dungeons plus monolith paradigm. And I'm already thinking about it. I'm already thinking, like, this is a great idea. This is a good brain space to explore.
Or they could do both.
Sure.
Like, they have the normal one, and then they have Uber Jirla, right?
Hey, that only appears like above 500 corruption. Oh.
Yeah, and then gives you, like, three slots instead sure. of one. Yeah,
I love it. Like one of the things that I compliment Last Epoch on so often is that the skeleton of the game is amazing. As they add more and more content, as they put more stuff in the Monolith Web, as they put more stuff in the Echoes, like, the game's going to scale really, really well if EHG mm-hmm. keeps up with it. The skeleton is so, so good. But, you know, it's patch 1.1 and there's still bugs everywhere, and they haven't gotten to the point where where everything feels amazing, and we're still going through those growing pains. So right now we have a lot of stuff to complain about, but we're, you know, it's not copium. I promise it's not copium. They're going to fix all the bugs. They're going to add onto the skeleton. They're going to, you know, keep fleshing out these systems. Right? Right? Right. I think so.
Unique echo types, and that's how the league mechanics go.
Yes,
like, imagine you did a Path of Exile mechanic, but you went into the echo to do it. Like,
for yeah. instance,
Look, you went into this echo web, and like, there's like maybe an arena of champions node, right? And you know, maybe at the end of the arena echo, you deal with one of the arena champions, and maybe they might drop their loot. Ooh, right. And like, I'm just trying to think of other things. Like, oh, there's like, I don't know. There's like a, I'm trying to think of something. There's like one of the shamans from the Spirits of Fire. It's like one of them at a shrine trying to revive a giant, giant lava elemental. And yeah, if you take too long, he summons it and you have to fight that. But if you do that, it drops more rewards. So you either kill the shaman quickly to get rid of him, and then like you finish the echo, or you kill the lava golem and like, oh, he spews out a bunch of like exalted weapons because he was made of that or something. Oh. I don't know. Like there's so many things they could do with the echo web. And I wish that eventually they'll like kind of like embrace the monolith, because it feels like as though they want people to either be in the mono or be out of the mono. It's like you're either in Aberroth or the dungeons, or you're in the mono. And the mono is the mono, and the Aberroth is the Aberroth, right? And like, I think the monolith web is their ticket to the same kind of like end game complexity that PoE has. And they just gotta like embrace the kind of like the searching through the web for stuff. Cause like, for mm-hmm. instance, a lot of the time, you know, the gameplay loop is me going from the center, Orbis, do it again, and then reduce my corruption if I go too high or whatever, right? And rinse and repeat. If I actually had a reason to go through the mono web, right? And like go and interact with and find these things, like that would be cool. That would be a lot more of a entertaining, you know. Yeah. That's just my current thoughts.
I'm once again asking for Val side areas. I think Val side areas from Path of Exile, just like yoink those, you know, give them a little coat of paint, put them into Last Epoch, would be amazing. We've been talking about like, you've done a little bit of COF, but like, you know, the lenses that you get for your proxy system. Give me some lenses that I can apply to the monolith web, so that I can exclude
like,
arena.
Like they could even use like the Merchants Guild and COF faction thing. Sure. Like they could have like, since we already have the knights and the faction thing, like have it so if I'm Merchants Guild, there's a random node in my mono that gets turned into like, I have to protect this merchant's caravan.
Yes, at the end. I get a big burst of gold. Absolutely agree with you. And it gives you bonus favor.
And then like, you do like a COF thing and you get like a random prophecy or something, or you get to like choose between prophecies and get it put into your thing as a reward. That's like the thing that I've always had with Ellie in general is like we have all this stuff for characters, but the end game is like what really needs fleshing out right now. Like I can play bim bomb build and bing bong this and doodah that, but whenever you don't have anything to do with your Barbies, it's just like you just kind of sit there and you're just like, all right, let's go play some Tekken or something.
Yeah,
right?
Sure. I hear you. I think we want more things
want
to do with
Barbie Dream House.
Barbie, yes. You want a hideout? Yeah, please, God, give me a hideout. I can't wait to decorate it.
Yeah.
All right. So we are just about I think slightly over the 1 hour mark for this at this point. We could talk about our desire for hideouts. We could talk about melee builds. Talk about something. What's on your mind about Last Epoch right now?
We could talk about recently. This has been a big thing. Oh my God. Okay. This is a big one. So we might be here for a little bit. Go ahead. Essentially, players' expectations of what items realistically drop and what don't. So let me paint the picture.
Is this like a Merchant's Guild thing or what?
Both.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. It's just about item acquisition. Doesn't matter where it's from. But I'm going to use a Merchant's Guild example here, but this applies to COF just the same. Okay. Unless you're all wheezy, then you just drop everything anyways. But okay. So I was streaming on Twitch.
Classic mistake. Block.
Classic mistake, yes.
Classic mistake.
And like, what happened? The gold dupe happened. The gold or gold exploit, whatever you want to call it. We could just call it the dupe or whatever, right? It happened again, right? So, sure. And I had a lot of people come into my chat and ask me, does this affect anything? And I even had to make a command, exclamation mark dupe. And it's like, and literally all it says is it doesn't matter because it's already over. It's already been affected. Like, it's already affected everybody. Like, we just have to deal with it at this point, sadly, due to the fact of how bad it was. But the biggest problem was there was a lot of people in chat. They would be like, hey, Dread, this kind of sucks, man. I've been saving up gold for like the past week, and I was just about to buy my red ring, and I couldn't because it in one night it jumped from 5 million gold to 100 million. And I'm just like, I'm baffled, and not for the reason you think. I'm baffled because why was a red fucking ring at 5 million gold?
That's like, a really low price. Yeah,
like, I had to go to the Maxwell thing or the LE planner and explain how statistics work and explain why you buying a red ring for 5 million gold sounded absolutely ridiculous. Just redonkulous, okay? Like, you just finally dropped your second red ring, or your first one, I guess, at this point. And, like, how much gold would you part with that?
100 million.
100 million.
Fuck 5 million.
Yeah, fuck 5 million, right? And it was such a big conversation point the entire stream because there's a lot of people that are like, wow, this gold dupe screwed me over. I can't get my 4LP item. Like, I had someone complain that the 3LP blood roost that was on the market was 500 million gold, only to go check the LP rates for and the chances of getting a good rolled one on top of getting an LP one in Merchant's Guild without COF influence, right? And let me tell you, don't look it up. It will make you depressed. And it's so ungodly low. And I just kept asking them, it's like, if you drop this, how much would you sell it for? And none of them could answer me that. So it's just like, so I think this is a problem on EHG side because the LP system is very, and you've talked about this before, by the way, this is why I'm bringing it up. But like the LP system is kind of tricking people into thinking, new players into thinking that like it is possible to get that 4LP Ravenous Void if I grind hard
enough. And do you remember Mike? Mike talked about this when we had him on the podcast as well. Talking about things that are like technically possible, but like it's never gonna fucking happen. And you know what?
No, it's not just trade. This is not just trade. This afflicts COF as well.
Yeah.
There are plenty of people
who spend
the entire cycle, right? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You started this by saying player expectation. And like it's completely true. If you take a look at lastepoctools.com, you scroll to the bottom, any unique item there, it says LP1234, and it tells you the percent chance there. But it doesn't tell you the percent chance until you hover your mouse over it. What it says is it says human, like English text. It says like common, uncommon, rare, unbelievably rare, nearly impossible. And like he doesn't bother putting 0.000091. He's like, just it's basically impossible. It's not gonna fucking happen. Like, stop worrying.
If you go to the max roll database, it will tell you the one in chance of it, right? Mm-hmm. It'll be like, oh, one in this many red rings will have LP on it. I think it's like one in 27. And this one in 700 ring unique echo prophecy / echo modifier plus rune of ascendances will be a red ring. Minus, like, you know, of course, like the LP ratio, stuff like that, right? So it's 733 at base 100 corruption times 27. That is your one in whatever chance of dropping a red ring every single time with one LP, every single time you drop a unique ring or set ring, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just like, and then you do that math in your head and you try to quantify that and you're just thinking, how much would I sell that for? And it's like,
5 million.
Like, yeah, and, like, even if, like, let's talk about the dupe for a second, because this is correct. Yeah, like, whenever the dupe thing, right, like, you shouldn't, like, red ring shouldn't have been 5 million in the first place. Like, that was a poor mispricing. If I had 5 million gold just sitting around, and I saw a red ring just sitting there, I'd snipe it in an instant. Don't care about the rolls, just give it. I don't care. And like this applies to COF too. Like, oh my God, I'm farming all these unique glove echo, unique glove prophecies. I'm gonna get my 4LP blood roost. And then you're like 3 months later, and it's like you don't have it. And you're just sitting there. It's like, damn, this game's bullshit. And it's like, why were you expecting to get it in the first place? And I think the problem is EHG side. They should probably have the LP ratios listed somewhere, even if it's like, let's say, like an item database, kind of like a bestiary, where like you look up the unique.
And they have an in-game guide. Just make, you know, the second in-game. Make the LP guide.
They can make like a database, right? Where it just like it's like a I don't know. I'm trying to think like a you know like it's like a. It's like a completion, like you have dropped this many uniques percentage at the bottom, and you click on it and it tells you the LP ratios, the drop weights and stuff like that, so that you know for certain how rare is this, because since it doesn't show in game, people don't know. New players don't know, and then they think that they're going to get this item, and then they grind for it, and then like all of a sudden they wake up and Red Ring's 100 million. Like, that's out of my budget. I'm like, well, if you took a week to get 5 million and you weren't able to buy a Red Ring, you were not in the market to buy a Red Ring. Like, let's be real, right? It, like, all Wheezy, like, how much do you farm in CLF to see the stuff you see? You've seen his stash, right? Mm-hmm. This patch, you've seen it. Yeah.
And that's what happens when you don't reroll and you just
buy that actually brings up a good freaking example, Kathendik, is okay. On stream, okay, I was pulling up a character from 0.9 with shitty gear, and I'm like, this took me 3 months to farm. And then I showed a character that was just made this patch in a week, because it was Poker Kids here. I'm sorry, Poker Kid. I'm sorry. I talk with a lot of people. But yeah, I was talking about Poker Kid's character, right? The Spellblade. It was the same build, literally just upgraded to this patch with like all of the power creep and all that, right? And I was showcasing items like, oh, look at this shitty item it took me 3 months to grab. Oh, look at this item that's like three times as better and it took him only a week. And you could poop these out. It's easy, right? And I had someone in chat drop in, okay, right? Drop in the chat. And they're like, wow, it took you 4 months to get that piece of shit. And it was a Dragonrass Claw with T6 melee attack speed. And you know damn good and well about this parry. Back then, that was a treasure. That was a treasure.
Absolutely.
Not only dropping a 1LP Dragonrass. Yeah, dropping a 1LP Dragonrass and hitting the mod you wanted. And then, of course, Poker Kid had a 2LP Dragonrass with T7 attack melee attack speed and T5 melee crit multi. And I was just showing the difference between before 1.0 and after 1.0. And I ended up banning the guy because he was being dumb and, like, aggravating Twitch chat. By the way, the easiest way to get banned in my chat, not aggravate me, but aggravate my Twitch chat. That's the first, like, because they're guests, they don't deserve to be aggravated. But yeah, it's just like, what are people's expectations of items, man?
No notes, done, ship it. Someone in chat just a moment ago, I think it was Frozen Sentinel, said it's like people getting upset for not dropping a mirror in Path of Exile. It's like, I played this game for 1,000 hours, I don't have a mirror yet. It's like, people played for like 30,000 hours, not dropped a mirror. Like, calm your jets. It's fine. Totally normal. That's
sorry, how stats work. I had to rant there. That was a little
bit of a good rant. I like that one. Player expectations. We actually talked about player expectations a lot, I guess, on my stream. But not only about like the kind of items that you can acquire, but like player expectations for like, you do something and you expect that it's good use of your time. Talking about like dungeons. You do something and like you expect how much damage this thing is going to deal to you. Talking about, you know, damage over time versus like hit stuff. You invest into an item and like it looks like a really good item, but really it just doesn't do as much as an Oracle Amulet for mitigating dot. Like, player expectations at first glance aren't there. There's a lot of misses. It's kind of like Swiss cheese right now. Like Last Epoch's a good game. There's a reason we complain about it. We complain about it because it's so good and it's fun to play. And like we talked to the devs, we had them on this podcast.
You cut out there
as well.
For a moment.
Oh, I apologize. I was saying we talked to the devs, we had them on the podcast. We play this game, we like this game, we give feedback, we host this podcast here because we like the game. But like the new player experience, is it good? Yeah. Can you make your own build? Yeah. Is it Swiss cheese when it comes to learning about what's bugged and what's not bugged and what's a good use of your time versus what's not a good use of your time? Like there's a lot of gaps. And we're highlighting a handful of them right now. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. That wraps it up here.
I like it. I wish, it's funny. I've got like 6,500 hours or something like that. I think like 6,000 hours in Last Epoch. You know, I've still never dropped a mirror in Last Epoch.
Like, oh, you mean a rune of creation? What?
No, no, I mean a mirror.
Oh, okay.
All right, I think that's gonna do it for today. This, well, episode 49? I think it's 49, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is, because we mislabeled the last one. It was 48, but we called it.
I fixed it, like I said.
Good. All right, so 49, almost episode 50. You know, we've been doing this for more than 2 years.
I know we have, and it's
literally
been great.
More than,
like,
2 years.
I know, like I said, I know sometimes, like, we get heated and we're talking about things passionately, and I was a little negative this time around.
No, that's okay.
I blame you for that, by the way, because you chose the perfect questions for that. But, like, still, though, to be fair, that item acquisition rant was 100% needed. Like, 100%. I was like, oh, I needed that out of my system.
It's like Mike telling you, like, you could get a 4LP Ravenous Void. You could. If you got your children and your children's children and your children's children's children, and if you got everyone to play the game for you. Yeah, great. Mm-hmm. The dream. This has been episode 49 of the Rat City Radio Podcast. If you're watching this on YouTube or Spotify after the fact, let us know where you're watching it so we can make sure your listening and viewing experience is as good as possible. I've been Perry the Pig. Dread, thank you for joining me. Appreciate your time, buddy. And I will see you next time.